take time out and to pray and to hear your word. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just bless this time together. Pray that you'll be with the pastor and Janet as they're traveling, Lord, and help them to be an encouragement to Brent and to the family, Lord. And just pray that you'll give them traveling mercies and safety. And we just ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to be kind of preaching to the choir tonight. It's going to be we're going to go over the importance of gathering in church. And when I first was thinking about this topic, I thought there was only a few verses out there that related to being in church when the doors are open, but there's actually a whole lot of them. So I want to look at that, and also along the same lines as attending church, I want to look at this, and it kind of gives us a picture of what church should look like, what a good church looks like. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. And we're going to break this down. There's actually a lot of meat in this passage right here. So in these verses alone, Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, it's got five reasons why we ought to be in church just in these verses. So we're going to read this right now. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So five reasons that come out of just this one passage. We'll look at these. It says, let us consider one another. Before we were saved, we were selfish, or even if we're backslidden, we're selfish. We're only thinking about ourselves. We have our own worries. We have our own problems and everything else in our mind. Our own happiness, feeding our own flesh, those are the kinds of things that unsaved people have. But when we're walking in with the Lord, we consider the well-being of others. And as we come to church, we can lift each other's burdens up, we can pray for each other. And there's other verses that speak to that as well, as this taking on the burdens of others and love for others as being kind of a litmus test of where you are in your faith. John 13, 34 through 35 says, a new command I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And then 1 John 3, 14, it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So attending church and showing love for your church family is a command. It isn't something that's just a suggestion. It's a command. The verse in John 13, it says, a new command I give unto you. All right. So that's, you know, Jesus commands us to come to church. He commands us to love each other. And it's also passing from death unto life. You know, when we're dead, selfish, only care about ourselves. But as we pass into life, how do we show that? Because we have love, because we love the brethren. All right, and the brethren being our church and other Christians. So that's the first thing. Let us consider one another. The second part of the Hebrews passage, to provoke unto love and to good works. Coming to church should should inspire and provoke us to love more and want to do more for God. It should get us excited. It should help us reach a greater potential than we would have in our lives if we didn't attend church. We should be spurring each other on and taking on each other's burdens. The Bible also talks about the older people in the church mentoring the younger people. We should be involved in getting strengthening each other's spiritual walk. And that's what we should have. A lot of times, as we get to know each other and we get comfortable with each other, that can change. That can change into picking at each other, and it can change to tearing each other down. Why does this person do this? Why does this person do that? And I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't make that decision. The church should be a place where we should let our guard down. We get beat up out in the world all the time. We always have to be on our guards. This guy trying to take, you know, get an angle on me. Is this person trying to, you know, someone's always tearing you down. There's always problems out in the world. We shouldn't have that environment here in church. Church should be a place, a safe place. We should be safe. We should be encouraged. And we should be, it should be a refuge and a place to refuel and grow in God. You know, and that's a picture of a healthy church. The next thing is in the Hebrews verse, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. That's a command. It says, that is a command not to follow the bad example of those who have forsaken God's house. I know in my family, I have many people that have chosen not to go to church. I have my own private faith. I study at home. I listen to, you know, sermons on the radio or watch them on TV, you know, whatever it is. People, you know, the church is full of hypocrites, whatever reason they have for not being here. That's not what God commands us to do. He says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves. So that's not a valid excuse. That's disobedience to what God calls us to do by not being in this building, not being in church when we can. Next part of Hebrews verse is, but exhorting one another. God wants us to speak encouraging words to each other, and that's something that we just don't get out in the world. He wants us to fellowship. He wants us to be involved. I've been guilty of being in church where I just want to sit in the back row and get out and not talk to anybody and all that. That's not what he's asking, or it's not what he's commanding. He wants us to be involved. He wants us to fellowship. He wants us to lift each other up, take each other's burdens on, to pray for each other, to encourage each other, to mentor each other, and to help each other in our Christian walk. All right, so it shouldn't be just I checked that box, I came to church, now I'm out. You should be involved in church. And then the fifth point that comes out of the Hebrews passage, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, you know, people can read the weather. We're reading the signs of the times. We know with the world events, the fulfilling of Bible prophecies, Christ's return is imminent. Our time is short, and we should have a sense of urgency because we're going to have to give account for our actions. You know, as we get older, you know, our life could be taken from us any time. And it's a sin of omission, and it's disobedience to a command to skip out on church. Time is short, so we need to be about God's business. You know, I heard it said too, you know, money that you make on earth, that it can get taken away, that can get lost, but those treasures that we store up in heaven, that's not going to get taken away, all right? And that'll be rewarded richly. So, as I was saying before, there's so many passages in the Bible that talk about coming to church, and I didn't realize until I started studying this out. So in this Hebrews passage, we got five reasons why we should be in church, just from that one passage. But there's other reasons as well. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 66, 24. Isaiah 66:24, and it says, they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall die not, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Obviously, we're talking about hell there. Mr. Otterman is not here, but he's got that sign that says hell is real. Hell is real. Jesus is real. We believe in that. I have relatives that I don't know if they're saved or not. And have passed on. I don't know if they're if I'm going to see them for eternity or not. I don't know if they're in heaven. They're people I loved. There's no time. There is no time. Hell is, you know, there's a good possibility that I've got people I love that are being tormented in hell right now because of their own arrogance, because they thought they were too wise for the Bible, because they had a bad experience in church, whatever reason. Good possibility that they're in hell now, and there's a good possibility I've stepbrothers that are pretty much on their road to hell. So there's a sense of urgency. There's these people that we love. Hell is real, and people are going there, and we need to, we're commanded, and we need to get people involved. We should be trying to reach people in the different things that we do here with Kids Club, involving teaching kids about to get saved, whose parents can't or won't take them to church or an after-school program. We should be trying to bring in friends and coworkers in here. It's not always the most comfortable thing in the world to do, but we should be bringing people in and trying to get people saved. We should be involved in the street preaching, the play, the many things that we have going on here at church, we should be involved in, mentoring the youth, all these things, to try and reach the lost. We might have saved teenagers, but they might have an unsaved friend that we can bring in and save. And so once again, the two things going on, the reasons we should be in church, but also what a good church looks like. And I think our church does this well. I mean, we have a member of our church that's got a billboard along 65 that that is trying to warn people about hell. We do have all these programs here. They do the after-school programs. Pastor's got the radio show. So our church, it seems, is answering this biblical mandate and is healthy in this sense of that we have many people involved that are doing their best to get out there in the world and witness. Matthew 4:19 is the next verse I want to look at. And it's along the same lines. Matthew 4:19. It says, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So it's an aggressive thing. When you're fishing, you're active. You know, you're trying to, okay, well, you know, what attracts this fish? You know, you're throwing it out there. You're seeing. You're approaching different. If you're trying to catch a certain fish at a certain time of year in a certain depth or whatever else. And these men that he was approaching, they were fishermen. So they knew this. They were active. It was an aggressive thing. They were trying to lead others to Christ, make you fishers of men. You're going after them. You're trying to bring them in. I never had the slightest idea of how to lead someone to Christ until I came here to this church. I didn't know what the Roman road was. I didn't know anything about street preaching. I thought that would be crazy, but I've seen good results of it. I had no idea how to talk to people about Christ and how to seize the moment. Because you don't know if you're ever going to see that person again. I saw Donovan was a good first time I met Brian Donovan. He asked me if I was saved. He asked me how I knew I was saved, and I was taken aback by it. I thought it was strange, but he has a sense of urgency about making sure that people are saved. I had no idea how effective a traveling play could be. I thought, oh man, we're going to go over here and. You know, these juvenile delinquents, and they're going to laugh at us, and they're not going to want anything to do with it. And as soon as you're done with the play, you got all these hands going up and kids wanting to get saved. It's an effective tool. Had no idea about the good test and all these other persuasive arguments that people have to win people over. There's a strategy that people use in order to get people saved. And these are all things that, had I not been in church, I never would have learned about. Church has a program. There's a wisdom in it. They're intentional. There's a way to do things. And there's thought put in it. It isn't haphazard. So it's a lot of good thought has been gone in it. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. There's a way to do things. So by being in church, we learn these ways. Then Matthew 9. 37 and 38. It says, then he said unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We should be in church to send out missionaries and pastors. And I think that's another way our church is healthy. If we look at our own homegrown missionaries and pastors, you could start out with Felipe. Felipe started out with a bus kid, and then he's got his own ministry. He's out there in California. You got Dan Bardwell out in the Ukraine. You got Brent just hitting the mission field. You got Matt Yancey, all homegrown guys that are out there, him becoming a pastor or assistant pastor out there in Arizona. All these people are in full-time ministry, and that's a great thing. Our church supports many other missionaries, and along the way, we have our own members in our own church doing our own ministries to try and to bring people to the Lord. So once again, something that church is for is to develop, and I think that's a good way that that pastor does, is he does develop things. You know, Joe is a good example of someone who sat under pastors teaching, and then because of that, what he learned there can preach. These are all, you know, pastors equipping all of us to be able to do ministry. And that's a very good thing. The Lord's really using our church to do that. Another reason to be in church is to raise up godly descendants and other children to impact the world for Christ. If you turn to Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7. And says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them, and when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So teaching children to be godly and to impact the world for Christ. We got the LCA that is right here in the church. We got godly parents raising up children. We've got the kids club, all these sorts of things. This is a function that the church should be doing. We should be raising up children to impact the world for Christ. Muslims do this stuff intentionally. They intentionally have kids in order to try and populate the world and you know, push Islam. We should, not saying we should do that, but we have, the enemy is working against us, so we should make sure that we're raising godly kids in our church and that they, that can have impact in the world. Another reason that we should be in church is we need to worship and thank God publicly for all his goodness and mercy that he's shown us. I don't know about you, but I was a pretty dirty, rotten scoundrel, and I'm pretty glad that I'm saved. I have a lot of gratitude for what the Lord has taken me from, and I'm pretty sure most likely a lot of you do too. We all were on a road to hell, and we need to publicly worship and thank God for this. It shouldn't be a private thing. We did public sins, you know. We should publicly acknowledge God and his forgiveness for our transgressions. So we should be bursting with gratitude, and we should want others to know what God has done in our lives. And verse for this, if you turn to Psalm 116, 12 through 18. Psalm 116, 12 through 18. It says, What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. So the psalmist wasn't keeping this a private thing. He wanted to acknowledge God. He wanted to talk about what God had done in the presence of his people. God deserves that, and that's something that we should do in church, and that's a reason why we should be in church, to publicly acknowledge God, to publicly praise God with our songs. And another thing, if we look at Matthew 6, 19 through 21, and I touched on this a little bit earlier. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Once again, I mentioned it earlier, you know, whoever's had a car, it rusts, it breaks down. Houses, they have problems. You make money, the stock market can crash, or you can lose your health, whatever it is. Money comes and goes. You know, and you can be just as happy with little money as you can with a lot of money. That's not something that we should be striving after all the time. Yes, we need to survive. We need food and raiment. Understand that. But nobody can take away these treasures in heaven. So if we're about the business of serving the Lord and laying up these treasures in heaven, those are the things that that no one can take away from us. And those sorts of things, those treasures, that's soul winning. That's putting the flesh down. It's the teaching his word. It's loving his appearing. It's being persecuted for his sakes. Things that happen around church. These, a lot of times these don't happen just on your own or in a isolation. You know, we do these things as a group. We get made fun of street preaching. We carry each other's burdens. If we're having trouble with certain sins, we have accountability partners. We, you know, by hearing the word, it works on us. So there's all these different things, and all these happen around church. So our treasure in our heart, if our heart is around these spiritual things, we should be in God's house. We shouldn't be missing church to work extra hours to have more stuff. I was probably the most guilty of that. I was always, you know, on some weird shift or whatever where I'd have to miss church. And for what? You know, it doesn't make any sense. I understand that sometimes we're forced to miss a service and that, but we shouldn't choose to do that just to have more things. There is a sacrifice of our time as well as our money that we should be willing to give. This is another one where I think our church just excels. If you turn into 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Second Timothy 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Once again, Paul poured into Timothy, and Paul tells Timothy to do the same. So it's setting up this multiplying network of disciples. And that's, once again, the things that we do here. Pastor can go and visit Brent, and the, you know, everything still happens. Also, just, you know, like we touched on before with creating that network of homegrown missionaries, homegrown pastors. Pastor can, he doesn't try and make it so that it's everything rises and falls on him. He lets go of some things and allows the body to work and to be involved in things. And that's a much appreciated aspect. A lot of pastors are a cult of personality that try and hold everything you know, nobody can do anything, you know. Pastor's not like that. He tries to develop people, and he tries to, and he gives things over. You know, he can go, and Joe can handle the Sunday service, and Brett Bishop can handle the one down in Rensselaer. People still, you know, all the same people who volunteer are doing the sound and song leading and all these things, and junior church, it all still happens, and that's a good development. That's a way a healthy church should function. People should be equipped and be able to influence and function in the church. Another reason we should come to church is discover and deal with sins and weaknesses in our life. We don't tend to be overcritical of ourselves. The Holy Spirit reveals sins and weaknesses that we have through Bible teaching and preaching. You've heard that joke about the couple that comes to church for the first time, and the pastor starts preaching, and the guy gets real mad and nudges his wife and says, "Oh, you know, you've been talking to him about me." You know, it's the way that the Lord uses the Word and the Holy Spirit. It has a way of just dealing with our issues, and we wouldn't get that if we weren't in church. There's so many times where you hear something and it just seems like it was just tailor made for you. So through that preaching, we get to mold ourselves, and the Lord deals with us through time in church. We start to see our own weaknesses and our own failures and what we need to work on. If you turn to 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. It says, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So that's one thing that none of us like. I mean, none of us like reproof. None of us like correction. You know, we think we know what's going on, but that's what we need. We can hide from everyone around us, but we can't hide from God. And sometimes it's a sermon or a hymn that we're singing, and that still small voice, it just works on us. And we know that there's things that that we, you know, are holding back. And there's time to be broken and convicted. By being in church, it puts us in a mindset to do an inventory of ourselves, and exposes us to a situation where that can happen. We have prayer time at the end of the service, and if we have things that we need to deal with, I mean, the altar is open. We can do that. We can act as the Spirit moves us to, and we can take time and pray. We've covered many reasons why to be in church, and there's other reasons we should be in church as well. We should try and influence our country. We should pray for our country. We should try and help it so that God doesn't forsake our country as bad as it is. We should come to church to learn the Bible better, to find out God's will for our life. But the reason I want to end on is this. It is Jesus' plan to reach the world, and each of us serves a purpose in that plan. To neglect church attendance is to neglect serving our role in Jesus' plan to reach the world. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 18. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For a body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, am I not of the body?' It is therefore not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members of every one of them in the body, and it hath pleased him." So if we don't, every one of us has got a gift. Every one of us has got a unique talents and gifts and things that we can bring to the table here in church. And by neglecting being here, we are hurting the body. We're taking away from the church. By neglecting to be involved, by neglecting to bring these talents, it hurts the body. Obviously, that's not an exhaustive list of reasons why we should be in church, but I have to admit that when I was studying this out, I was surprised at how many, I thought there'd only be a couple verses on this, but there's actually a lot of how many verses touched on church attendance. So it's an important thing. It's something that we shouldn't neglect. All right, that's all I got for tonight. Does anyone have any prayer requests? Obviously, Traveling Mercies for Pastor.